guys. When? April the 2nd. Where? Christian Family Church. So go to CFC.
God brought you here for a reason tonight. God is grace. And
you. Thank you. your beauty for ashes. The Bible says that God can take what was meant for your destruction and He can turn it around to your advantage. So when we sing the song, "From the ashes I will rise," because the resurrected King is resurrecting me. How many of you believe that this morning? How many of you believe that no matter what comes against you, no matter what comes against you, how many of you believe that the Lord lifts you up out of it? How many of you believe that God gives you beauty from ashes? How many of you believe that God turns what the enemy meant for your harm to your advantage? Do you believe that this morning? Let's sing it. Let's declare it together. I encourage you to lift your voice and sing this out like you really believe it today, because this is a declaration that we're making in faith this morning, that our resurrected King, we believe He is resurrecting us, and we believe that no matter what we face, praise God, God gives us the victory in all things. Amen. Come on, give Him a shout of praise.
There's no God who delivers
like our God delivers. There's nobody who can compare. You alone, Lord, are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are worthy. You are great. You are mighty. We give you praise in this place today in Jesus' name. And everybody said aloud, amen. Come on, give the Lord a big shout of praise.
But then we come to be ministered to by Him, right? When we hear the teaching of the Word, we expect God to speak to us, to direct us, give us direction for the week and encouragement, amen? And Pastor Steve has been preaching an incredible faith message, so expect to have your faith stirred up today, amen? And we want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having visitors in our church. Very few services go by where there's no visitors. And so if you are here for the first time, the way we'd like to honor you, we'd just like to give you a gift bag right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just raising your hand that we can hand you a gift bag? God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. Welcome. So good. Just keep it up till the usher sees you. And it's a little short, so you go. There you go. Right in front of you. Thanks, brother. Awesome. Don't you love our ushers? They're always so, they're just like on the ball, watching everything. So thank you for coming and visiting us today. In that gift bag's a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there hoping it'll just be an encouragement and a blessing to you. And then there's a white card. If you just take a moment and fill that out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. You can just drop that card in, and it gives the pastor an opportunity to call you. Just find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. Thanks.
Great. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great.
Good to see you. Good to see you here today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you're sitting next to me today. Right? Praise God. Let's pray one more time. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for every person that is here this morning. You know what's going on. You know every detail of our life. You know what we're facing. And Lord, I pray today that you will minister to people, that you will speak to people, that you will touch people's lives, that you will change us, transform us. I pray that your word will go deep into our heart and bring life, bring freedom. I pray, Lord, that you'll set people free. Lord, I'm trusting you today to enable me, to anoint me, to use me, to speak through me today, Lord. Thank you for bringing understanding, revelation to every person's heart, to every mind, Lord. We give you all the praise for everything that will be said and for everything that will be done in Jesus' name. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You know, on Sundays, last few weeks, we've been in a series called Faith that Moves God to Act. Faith that moves God to act. And this is going to be the final part. This is number five. We've been dealing with this for 5 weeks, and if you weren't in all of these teachings, in fact, even if you were, even if you've been to every one of these, I would encourage you to go and get the CDs at the book table and listen to these CDs over and over again. And also, you can go to my podcast. If you go on iTunes to Steve Barry Ministries, all of these messages are on podcast, so you can listen to them for free. Just go on podcast. And if you subscribe to my podcast, then you'll get a little notification every time there's a new sermon uploaded, and we're uploading them every week. So I would encourage you, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say faith comes because you heard it yesterday. It's present tense. You've got to keep on feeding yourself on the word of God on a daily basis. I ate yesterday. What did I have? I had some oatmeal in the morning, and then in the afternoon, what did I have? You're supposed to keep track of all of my meals. I had a little bit of steak and rice from leftovers. And then last night, Jill made a meat pie. Americans, you know meat pies?
Yes.
That's an English thing, a meat pie. Steak pie. And so I ate yesterday, but guess what? I'm going to eat again today.
Yeah.
How many of you ate yesterday? You lied, every one of you ate yesterday. How many are you going to eat again today? Well, it's the same thing spiritually. Just because you heard, well, Pastor Steve, I heard you preach that last week. I know, but you need to be hearing it and hear it over and 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 over again until it becomes such a part of you, you never forget it. So today's part number 5. And we're talking about faith that moves God to act, because really, it is our faith that moves God to act in our life. The Bible says it is our faith that pleases Him. Without faith, we cannot expect to receive anything from Him. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 2, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Why is there a fight to faith? The reason there's a fight to faith is because we have an enemy to our faith. And he's trying to oppose our faith. And he's trying to take our faith. Why is the enemy after our faith? Why does the enemy want to steal your faith? Because that's the only way you can please God, is with your faith. Because that's the only way you receive from God. The Bible says in James chapter 1 that without faith, we must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So you can't receive anything from God without faith. The Bible says that it is through faith that we overcome. It is through faith that we have the victory. That's why the enemy is after our faith, family. And if there is a fight to faith, then there must be enemies to faith. Would you agree? If there's a fight to faith, there's going to be some enemies to faith. And today I want to talk to you today about one of the biggest hindrances to faith that I know of. And I want to read from Mark chapter 11. I want to ask you to read with me Mark 11 in verse number 23. This is Jesus is teaching about faith, probably the greatest teaching or scripture on faith in the whole Bible, in my opinion. Mark 11 verse 23. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, I love that he says it like that, assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you that whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And then in verse 25, Jesus said, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Because if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, what's very interesting to me is Jesus is teaching and talking about faith in verse 23 and in verse 24. And then immediately, in verse 25, he starts talking about forgiving. Why does Jesus go from talking about faith and then start talking about forgiving? Are they connected? Yes, they are connected. Unforgiving. You see, if we refuse to forgive, It'll hinder our faith from working. It'll stop our faith from working. That's why when Jesus spoke about faith, about speaking to the mountain, immediately he started talking about forgiveness. Because in Galatians 5 in verse 6, the Bible says, when we are in Christ Jesus, it's not important if we're circumcised or not. The important thing is faith. The kind of faith that works through love. Now notice that. It says faith works through love. Say that. Say faith works through love. In fact, the Amplified Bible says it like this. Faith is activated, energized, and expressed, and works through love. Faith works through love. What does that mean? That means love is the power behind our faith. That means that faith won't work without love. If we are not operating and exercising love, it's going to hinder our faith. And you see, the thing about love is love forgives. The God kind of love forgives. See, unforgiveness is the only hindrance that Jesus mentioned. The only thing is, he's teaching about faith, and the next thing, he starts talking about forgiving. It's the only hindrance he mentioned. Let me tell you, if my prayers are not working, the first place I'm going to look is, do I have any unforgiveness towards somebody? Am I holding a grudge towards somebody? That's the first place I'd look. If my prayers aren't working, if I'm praying and 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 I'm confessing and I'm praising and it's not working, the first place I'd look at is there anyone I'm holding something against them? Because unforgiveness will stop your faith. Are you still here?
Yes.
Now, you've heard me mention Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, I learned so much from Kenneth Hagin. We went to Rhema Bible College back in 1982, and Kenneth Hagin is the founder of that. Of course, he went home to be with the Lord a few years ago. He was 86 years old. And Kenneth Hagin is a man that I have great respect for. And he pastored for over... He was in the ministry for over 60 years, but he pastored, I believe, for 12 years. He pastored churches. And he said that from his experience of more than 50 years of ministry and talking to thousands of people, he found that unforgiveness was the main reason why people's faith doesn't work and why they don't receive from God. Unforgiveness was the main reason. Now, family, in life we all have things that happen to us. We can choose to hold on to the hurt and become bitter and angry and let it poison our future. Or we can choose to forgive. We can choose to let it go. Thank you, Natalie. We can choose to let it go. We can choose to forgive people. Amen?
Amen.
In Colossians 3 verse 13, the Bible says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must also forgive others. Say, I must forgive others. Say, God forgave me, and I must forgive others. Say, I must forgive anyone who offends me. Isn't that what it says? Forgive anyone. Forgive anyone who offends you. You might think you're not able to forgive. You might think, well, they hurt me too bad, Pastor Steve. Maybe your ex caused you a lot of pain, or maybe a friend betrayed you and you just can't let it go. Maybe you say, I just can't forgive, Pastor Steve. Listen, how many of you believe Jesus would tell us to do something that we can't do? Would Jesus tell us to do something that it's impossible to do?
No.
No. Jesus wouldn't tell you to do something that you can't do. The fact that Jesus told us to forgive means that we can. See, really, you're not forgiving for their sake. You're forgiving for your own sake. When you forgive, you take away their power to hurt you any further. See, the mistake that we make so often is we hold on to it. We go around bitter. We go around angry. We hold on to grudges. And all we're doing is allowing them to continue to hurt us because they're out there enjoying their life. They forgot all about it. And you're here all wound up and you're holding on to this thing. We're not hurting them by staying angry. We're poisoning our own life. I challenge you, make a decision, man, to live a life of forgiveness. I'm telling you, no matter what anybody does to me, I refuse to permit unforgiveness because I know it's going to affect my faith. I know it's going to affect my life. Now that may sound selfish, but I forgive people for my own sake. So you just got to make up your mind to release all the hurt, all the pain, all the bitterness, and just wholeheartedly forgive anyone and everyone who's ever done you any wrong. Maybe your husband walked out on you, left you with kids to raise. You got so much anger towards him. You don't think you're ever going to be able to forgive, you're ever going to be able to love again. I know people who are still mad at someone who's dead and gone. They've still got unforgiveness toward their parents or a former boss or an ex-spouse. Listen, it's bad enough they hurt you once. Don't let them continue to hurt you by staying angry, by getting into unforgiveness and bitterness. You just hurt yourself. Amen? Because no matter how painful, no matter how difficult it may be, let me tell you have to forgive before you can move on. You've got to release it once and for all. Because, you see, when you don't forgive someone, you're not hurting them, you're hurting yourself. You're poisoning yourself. You're stopping your own faith from working. I heard someone say this, when you forgive someone, you set a prisoner free. But you soon realize the prisoner wasn't the other person, the prisoner was me. See, what they did to you might have been wrong, but my challenge is don't let it ruin the rest of your life. They might have betrayed you, they might have mistreated you, they might have lied about you. But what they did is not worth you missing your destiny over. You can't let one divorce, one betrayal, one bad childhood keep you from the awesome future that God has in front of you. I mean, Joseph was betrayed. Joseph in the Bible was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Sold as a slave because they were jealous of him. And he could have let that one injustice steal his destiny if he wanted to. But you know, when Joseph, many, many years later, when Joseph's father passed away, his brothers came to see him because there was a famine in the land and they were afraid that he was going to pay them back for what they did. They came and they asked forgiveness. And listen what Joseph said to his brothers all these years later in Genesis chapter 50. Joseph replied, he said, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. Don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children." And he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? These guys sold me as a slave. And he speaks kindly and says, "Listen, God had a reason for this. I'm here to help you. I'm here to save your life." How many of you can see it's obvious that Joseph wasn't holding a grudge? I believe that's why God blessed him and promoted him. There's no telling how many people we don't read about in the scripture because they got angry, they tried to pay people back, and they missed God's destiny for their life. Don't let that be you. Your destiny is too great to let what somebody did toward you to keep you from keep moving forward in your life. Amen. You know, forgiveness is not about, it's not about just being nice and kind and doing the right thing. Forgiveness is about not missing the amazing future God has for your life. Some of you I know have a valid reason to be angry. You were mistreated when you were younger. Wasn't your fault. You had no control over it. What they did to you wasn't right. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you excuse their behavior. It doesn't mean you lessen the offense. I'm not saying you've got to be best friends with them. I'm simply saying you need to let go of that unforgiveness, bitterness, and grudge. Quit dwelling on it. Quit replaying it over and over in your mind, giving it time, giving it energy. You have a destiny to fulfill. And every time you let that consume your thoughts and you go back and replay how bad it was and how unfairly you were treated, it's like opening an old wound. When you don't let it, you know, go, it won't heal properly. It's like a bruise that won't go away. Have you ever gotten a big bruise and, you know, maybe somebody accidentally bumped into where you bruised yourself and it's sensitive and it's painful, so you become overly protective, make sure no one gets close to that bruise. It's the same way with people that are emotionally bruised because we've been hurt, you know, someone did us wrong. If we don't let it heal, the bruise won't go away. We become overly sensitive. We become defensive about the smallest things. We end up not having good relationships.
Yeah.
There are ladies today that don't trust men because one messed up man hurt them and they never let it go. Now they're defensive. They're distrustful. They think all men are bad. They're out to get them. The scripture says in Luke 14, Jesus said, "I came to set at liberty those who are bruised. I came to set free those who have been bruised, family." We're not free if we're bruised.
Yeah.
If we want the bruise to go away, if you want to walk in the freedom that belongs to you, you simply need to forgive the wrongs, let it go, and move forward in your life.
Amen.
There's nothing the enemy would like any more than for you to let one bad thing that happened, one messed up person that hurt you, or one injustice to ruin the rest and affect the rest of your life. You've got to be determined, man. You've got to say, "No way, my destiny is too great. My future is too bright. My God is too big to let what somebody did or didn't do to me to cause me to get stuck there. I'm going to shake that off. I'm going to push forward to what God has in store." Can you say amen?
Yeah.
I heard about this lady who was abused by her father and several other men when she was a little girl. And she grew up confused, ashamed. She thought it was her fault. She didn't trust men, but she would do anything to try and please them, because that's all she'd known. But inside, she was bitter, she was angry, she had a chip on her shoulder. For 26 years, she hadn't spoken to her father. She hated him. Every time she thought about her father, she got more bitter. And one day, someone told her what I'm telling you, that when we forgive, it releases us to move forward in our life. That nothing that somebody's done has to keep us from our destiny. At 36 years of age, she made a trip to go and find her father. And she found him. And she said to him, "Dad, she said, what you did to me was so wrong. I've hated you every day of my life. But I cannot live with this poison any longer. So I've come to tell you today, I'm forgiving you." You know, she said when she left that day, she felt like she was released from a prison. Up until that point, she had floundered in her life. She'd been in and out of relationships, one job to the next job. But you know, today, 10 years later, she's happily married. She's got three beautiful children. She owns her own successful business. She says her life couldn't be any better, any better. And it all started the day she let go, the day she forgave. You see, you've got to forgive so you can be free. Don't let the person who hurt you keep you in a prison the rest of your life. If you let it go, let me tell you, God will do for you what he did for Joseph. God will take what was meant for your harm, turn it around, and use it to your advantage. It might have been painful, but listen, don't waste your pain. God wants to use the pain to promote you. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30, the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine. Retribution in the meeting out of full justice rests with me. I will repay. I will exact the compensation," says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge and determine and solve and settle the cases of his people. The Lord will settle the cases of his people. Vengeance is mine. Meeting out of justice rests with me. I will repay. Listen, I let God take care of it. Some of you, you need your cases settled. You've had unfair things happen to you. Maybe somebody stole your childhood. Maybe somebody left you with children to raise by yourself. Maybe a business partner cheated you, you know, in a business deal. You could be, you know, angry and bitter and try to get them back. But listen, you need to be encouraged. You need to know that God is a just God, and he knows every person who's hurt you. He's seen every person who's violated you. He's seen every person who left you alone and afraid. Nobody else might have seen it, but God saw it, and he knew it wasn't right. And he's saying to you today, "I'm going to settle your cases. I'm going to make your wrongs right. I'm going to take care of it. Leave it with me." You see, listen, God is not only going to pay you back what you deserve, but God promised he'll pay you back double for every unfair thing that happened. Isaiah 61 verse 7. Because you've got a double dose of trouble and more than your fair share of contempt, your inheritance in the land will be doubled and your joy will go on forever and ever. Because of the trouble, your inheritance is doubled. Because of what you went through, this is what's going to be the outcome. That means every person who lied about you, every person who tried to make you look bad, let it go and double is coming your way. Those people who violated you, forgive them. Double is on its way. The business partner who cheated you, get rid of the resentment and double is coming your way. You see, God never brings us out the same. He makes the enemy pay for bringing that injustice into your life. But you see, you've got to do your part. You've got to let it go. You've got to forgive. You've got to let God handle it. As long as you're going to go around with resentment, holding a grudge, then God cannot settle it for you. Rather let Him be your vindicator. Rather let God settle your cases. Some of you, you feel guilty about something that wasn't even your fault. People mistreated you when you were growing up, and now you've got this nagging feeling down on the inside, like there's something wrong with you, like you were to blame. Listen, you can't help the way people treated you. When you were younger, if someone took advantage of you or someone did you wrong, you do not have to feel ashamed. Don't live guilty. It's not your fault. It's the other person's fault. You've got to hold your head up high. You're a child of the Most High God. Your value didn't go down because one messed up person did you wrong. You're still the apple of God's eye. You're still His masterpiece. You're still His most prized possession. Amen? You know, life isn't always fair. But God is fair. And if you let go of the shame and the blame and press forward and trust Him, let me tell you, God will cause the rest of your life to be better than if it had never happened. God will pay you back with more. God will not allow one of His children to be constantly mistreated and taken advantage of. If you're in a situation like that, where someone is doing you wrong, where someone someone has done you wrong, listen, don't get depressed. Don't give up on life. Keep on believing. You need to know payday is coming. If your husband ran off with another woman, you don't have to feel ashamed. Don't listen to thoughts telling you you're not good enough. You're not attractive enough. Those are lies. You don't have the problem. He has the problem. You need to hold your head up high. Know the Creator of the universe. He's going to settle your case. He's going to make your wrongs right. Amen? You see, it helps us to forgive. When we realize, you know, that the people who hurt us have problems of their own, they have issues of their own. When someone lashes out and mistreats you, or someone abandoned you, rejected you, they have unresolved issues they're not dealing with. Very often it's because that's what they've experienced in their life. And then they repeat it. It doesn't excuse their behavior, but the bottom line is somebody hurt them, and if you will take a merciful approach, and say, you know what, Lord, what they did to me was wrong. They hurt me. But I'm not going to try to pay them back. I'm not going to try and get revenge. God, I'm asking you to heal their hurts and give them what they need. I'm praying that you'll bless them. Yes. What are you, Pastor? What are you talking about? I'm praying that you'll bless them. Listen, when you can pray for your enemies, when you can bless those who wronged you, let me tell you, then God can bless you. Yes. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, He said, I say to you, love your enemies. That's what separates, that's what differentiates Christianity from every other religion, family. Because in Christianity, we love our enemies. Anybody can love their friends. Anybody can love those who love me. Oh, that's not hard. Anyone can do that. But Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you, persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. See, when you're merciful, you will receive mercy back. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 7, God blesses those who are merciful. They will be shown mercy. Matthew 9:13, I want you to be merciful to others. Luke 6:36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. James 2:13, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you be merciful, God will be merciful when He judges you. That's why I like to be merciful to people. You know what? I need God to be merciful when I stand before Him and He judges me. I want Him to be merciful. How many of you want God to be merciful to you? Then be merciful to others. Remember, the stricter you are on other people, the stricter God's will be on you. That's a scary thought. I don't know about you, but that's a scary thought. Because, you know, it's amazing how we judge others, but we excuse ourselves. Ephesians 4 verse 32 says, instead be kind and merciful and forgive others just as God forgave you because of Christ. Forgive others just as God forgave you because of Christ. How does God forgive us? He doesn't hold it against us. He blots it out. He forgets it. He doesn't keep reminding us of it. In Isaiah 43, 25, the Bible says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I'll blot your sins out. I will not remember it. The New Living Translation says, I'll never think of them again. I'll never think of them again. The Contemporary Bible says, I will forget the wrongs you've done. Hebrews 8 verse 12 says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. You see, if we forgive people just as God has forgiven us, then we forget about it. We don't hold it against them. We don't hold it against people. If you say, well, I've forgiven them, Pastor Steve, but you're holding a grudge, then you really haven't forgiven them at all. Kenneth Hagin tells a story. He just became the pastor of a church. You know, the way that he worked is in those days, and it's still like this in some circles, but he'd be at a church for like four years, and then he'd move on to the next church for 4 years, then he'd move on to, wouldn't stay there permanently. So he, and you'd have to be voted in, and so he just became the pastor of this new, you know, this church. And so one of the members came to visit him. And she came to tell him how one of the other members had mistreated her. And she was going on and on and on about what this person had done to her. And he thought, man, this must have just happened, you know. But when he asked her, when did this happen? She started counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He thought she's going to say, it happened 8 days ago. But she said, next Tuesday will be 8 years ago. And when she said it, he had such a look of astonishment. She quickly added, now don't misunderstand me. I have forgiven her, but I'll never forget. I could never forget how that devil treated me. Without even thinking, it just came out. He answered, he said, sister, you're a bald-faced liar. You're a bald-faced liar. You haven't forgiven her. Because if you had forgiven her, you would have forgotten about it and you wouldn't be over here 8 years later talking about it. Listen, family, the Bible says we must forgive just like God has forgiven us. And if you truly forgive, you will not keep reminding people of their past mistake or how they hurt you or how they let you down. You will not hold on. Listen, the devil will remind you of things that people have done against you, but you've got to resist those thoughts and you've got to tell the devil, devil, I've forgiven that person, and as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't exist anymore. Someone said, but Pastor Steve, I cannot forgive like God forgives because I'm not God. But you can, because God has given you his same love. He's put it in your heart. He's given you his love that you can forgive with his love. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 5, the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit has been given to us. Say this, say the love of God has been poured out in my heart. Say, I am filled with the love of God and I can love people with God's love. Say, I can forgive because God's love is on the inside of me. Say this, say, I can forgive like God forgives me. See, God wouldn't tell us to do something that we are incapable of doing. God tells us to forgive just like he does. That means don't hold on to it. That means don't hold a grudge. It is a sin to hold on to other people's mistakes, including your own. After Jesus rose from the dead, he came to talk to the disciples, and he said something very interesting to them in John 20 verse 23. He said, this is amazing, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, think about that. Of all the things that he could have said to them, this is one of the things he said. He said, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. But if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. You know, one thing I believe that Jesus is saying is when we hold on to the wrongs that people have done, when we retain their sins, so to speak, it not only contaminates us, but that sin is like a seed. It can actually produce in us exactly what they did. In other words, when you don't forgive someone, it's easy to become what you hate. Romans 2 verse 1 says, you may think you can convince such people, but you are just as bad, and you have no excuse. When you say that they are wicked and they should be punished, you are condemning yourself, for you who judge others do these very same things. I remember the lady who hated her father. She hated him because he cheated on her mother. And she didn't have a good childhood. She resented him because he was unfaithful. He wasn't there for the children. She couldn't stand him. But do you know, when she got married, she ended up running around on her husband, being unfaithful to her husband, not being there for her children. She became exactly what she hated in her father. That's why the Bible says, be very careful about judging someone else, because it's very easy to fall in the same trap. That's why it's important to forgive. That's why it's important to let it go. Because the wrongs that we hold on to, the sins we retain, can produce in us exactly what we don't want. If you were raised in a dysfunctional home, maybe there was violence, maybe abuse, unforgiveness. Don't let that poison get on the inside of you. Move on for me, Natalie, if you would. Why don't you be the one to set a new standard for your family? Why don't you be the one to rise up and make a difference? Are you going to hold on to the anger and the unforgiveness and pass it down onto the next generation? Or will you let it go so you can see your family go to a new level? I mean, I know that it can be difficult to forgive, especially when people have hurt us really badly. But God will never ask us to do something and then not give us the power to do it, family. And sometimes forgiveness is a process. It doesn't always happen overnight. You don't pray one prayer and never think about it again. It's a process that has to be walked out. See, if you have a desire to forgive, and every day you ask God to help you, then little by little those negative feelings will get less and less, and one day you'll look up and it won't affect you at all. But you've got to make a decision that I'm choose to forgive these people. See, when Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, in one part he said in Matthew 6:12, he said, forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who've sinned against us. Notice, forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who've sinned against us. I mean, do you really want God to forgive you just the way that you forgive other people? Do you really want God to treat you just like you treat the person that you work with? Do you really want God to forgive you the same way you forgave in your ex? I mean, it's mind-boggling that some of us who say we've been forgiven of so much are so stingy when it comes to sharing the forgiveness that we have been given. Jesus said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He's not just talking about a monetary debt. He's talking about when people hurt us, God refers to that as a debt. When someone mistreats us, we feel like they owe us something. Human nature says, you hurt me, now I want justice. You've got to pay. You did wrong. You've got to pay me back for what you did. The problem is, we're trying to collect on a debt that only God can pay. You see, the father who abused his daughter, he can't give her back her innocence. Only God can do that. The friend that cheated you, or those parents that mistreated you. If you're grown now, they can't pay you back for that. That spouse that was unfaithful, he can't pay you back for the pain that he's caused. Only God can truly pay you back. If you want to be restored and made whole, if you want to be free, you've got to get on God's payroll. Because he knows how to make your wrongs right. He knows how to bring justice into your life. You've got to stop expecting people to make it up to you. They can't give you what they don't have. If you're always looking to people to pay you back for the wrongs that they've done, you're going to live a frustrated life. I mean, some people have gone through a bit of divorce, and then there's a new relationship or new marriage, and they expect this new person to pay them back for all the wrongs that somebody else did to them. They're always trying to collect that debt, and they end up ruining that relationship as well. Listen, don't punish the person you married to for something that happened years ago when they weren't even around. They can't pay you back. Get on God's payroll. I know a man who was wronged in a business decision. He ended up losing his entire business. This happened, you know, a number of years ago. But he's still mad at the world. And he's been with several different companies. He just can't keep a job. He's got all this bitterness on the inside. He thinks people owe him something. He expects them to pay him back. What's his problem? He's on the wrong payroll. You see, our attitude should be, God, you know everything that I've been through. You know every hurt. You know every wrong. You know every tear. I'm not going to live my life bitter, trying to get people to give me what they don't have. God, I'm going to leave it up to you. You promised you would settle my cases. You promised me you'd pay me that double for everything I've paid. So I'm letting all my family, all my friends, all my co-workers, I'm letting them off the hook, and I'm putting my trust, I'm putting my confidence, and Lord, I'm putting my hope in you to make my wrongs right.
Amen.
See, when you get on God's payroll, let me tell you, he'll make sure you're well compensated. See, unforgiveness is when your spirit gets stuck in a state of pain from which it cannot eradicate itself. Unforgiveness is toxic. Start drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Some of you today, if you would just let some people off the hook in your life and quit thinking that they owe you something, you would see your life go to a whole other level. And they may have been wrong. It may have been their fault. But it's not their fault. They can't pay you back. If you spend your life trying to get from people what only God can give, you'll end up ruining that relationship. The sad thing is you take that problem into the next relationship, and the next relationship, and the next relationship. It's so much better to just put your trust in God and let God pay you back. Let God make it up to you. It's so freeing to say, you know what, nobody owes me anything. They might have hurt me. They might have stole my childhood. They might have cheated me out of some money. That's all right. I'm not on their payroll. I'm on God's payroll. And the good news is God never misses a payment. God is faithful. Amen. You see, how many of you know life's too short to go through it bitter, angry, trying to get people to pay you back? No, let it go. God will settle your cases. Nowadays, you know, just about every airline, they make you pay for your baggage, right? You can't take it free anymore, except maybe international. But do you know it's the same way in life? Do you know that you can carry emotional baggage, but it's going to cost you something? You can carry that bag of unforgiveness, it's going to cost you your joy. You can take that bag of bitterness, it's going to cost you your peace. You can carry that bag of you owe me something, but if you carry it long enough, it'll be a hefty price. It'll keep you from your destiny. It'll keep you from the blessings of God. Someone said, well, Pastor Steve, they didn't even deserve to be forgiven. After what they did to me, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Maybe they don't, but you do. And when you don't forgive them, your Heavenly Father can't forgive you. Matthew 6:14. If you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's amazing that we who have been given so much often struggle to forgive others. Some of us even struggle to forgive ourselves. As you see, if you don't give forgiveness well, it's hard to receive it. Some people cannot conceive that a guilty person can be forgiven and exonerated. So what happens is when they do something wrong, they carry their own guilt for years and years and years, not conceiving that the grace of God is able to forgive them. You see, very often if you can't forgive anyone else, you have a hard time forgiving yourself. Jesus told a parable, and I'll close with this. Jesus told a parable about a man who owed a king 10,000 talents. It would be equivalent of $20 billion in today's currency. It's a huge debt. The scripture says he could not pay it back. So the king, he asked the king to please forgive him. And the king forgave him. But then the same man who was forgiven by the king of this huge debt, he refused to forgive his co-worker who owed him a debt of about $300. He refused to forgive him. He grabbed the man by the neck and started squeezing and choking him. He said, pay me what you owe me. Can you imagine? You just got forgiven of $10 million. Now you're squeezing the life out of someone who owes you $300. Matthew 18, verse 32. The king called in the man he had forgiven. And he said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? And then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Jesus called this servant evil. Why was he evil? Because he wouldn't forgive. God has forgiven us of a debt that we could never repay. God expects us to forgive people who wrong us. Notice it was a small debt that the man refused to forgive. It wasn't a big debt. It's amazing how some people know it's wrong to hold a big grudge, but they seem they can get by with holding it if it's just a little grudge. Jesus told us to forgive if we have aught against anyone. The word ought means any kind of grudge, any kind of ill will, any kind of wrong feeling about somebody. If you have aught against anybody. The Song of Solomon says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. What that means is, often it's not the big things that spoil believers' lives, but it's the little sins they fail to deal with. Sometimes it's the little ought that you overlook that keeps your prayers from being answered. Let me tell you, unforgiveness is not natural. It's a learned behavior. Children are not unforgiving. How many of you can see, how many of you know children can fight, cry, and 10 minutes later they're big buddies? We used to be like that. What happened is that we stopped. Unforgiveness is a learned behavior. If you can learn it, then you can unlearn it. Unforgiveness is for petty people. Unforgiveness doesn't protect you from future hurts. Unforgiveness robs you of future opportunities. It limits you. It dwarfs you. It holds you back. Unforgiveness is one of the greatest hindrances to faith. And the enemy will present you with opportunities to get you into unforgiveness, to hold on to a grudge. It might come through a boss, a family member, a co-worker, a spouse, a parent, a child, a niece, a nephew, maybe even the pastor. I know that's hard to believe. That's hard to believe, right? That I could ever do anything that you would be so offended that you would not forgive me. But I can't tell you how many people that I've brought into the kingdom, that they got born again because of my ministry, that I taught them the word of God, and they got upset and offended with me over something, and they won't even answer my phone call. And if they see me on the street, they turn and go the other way. Let me tell you right now, you better watch out when you stand before God one day.
Amen.
You better be careful when you stand before God one day. I mean, can you believe that after you would... I mean, I can't imagine ever treating Pastor Theo that way. I don't care what he did. Yep. He could beat you with a stick. She's gonna tell Pastor Theo, test it out. But I'm serious. He could beat me with a stick. And I wouldn't treat him like that. You know what? Because I'm so thankful. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be in the kingdom of God today. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be saved today. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be married today. If it wasn't for him, I would never be saved today. If it wasn't for his ministry. Now, has Pastor Theo ever said something to offend me? Yes. Has he ever hurt my feelings? Yes. Have I ever said anything to offend him? Yes. Have I ever hurt his feelings? Yes. Have I forgiven him? Yes. Has he forgiven me? Yes. Am I going to hold a grudge against him? No. I can't believe people. I mean, I'm thinking of people that I've been ministered to whose life was falling apart. And they sit here and shout, "Praise the Lord, Pastor, preacher, Pastor!" And they're not here and they won't return my phone calls. We've got to get this together, family. How you respond determines how God responds to you. If you refuse to forgive, let me tell you, it'll shut your faith down. That's why it's so important to establish that you can have a spirit of forgiveness no matter what anybody does to you. Get rid of the baggage. Forgive so you can be free. Let go of the hurts. Let go of the wrongs. Get on God's payroll. Let God make it up to you. Let God settle your cases. I'll tell you what's going to happen. God's going to settle your case. God's going to make your wrongs right. God's going to restore what the enemy's stolen. God's going to bring justice in your life. God's not only going to give you what you deserve, He's going to pay you back with double the joy, double the peace, double the friends, double the fulfillment. He's going to bring you out better than what you were before. If you let go of who you were, what they said, who didn't raise you, who didn't love you, who abused you, who misused you, the job you didn't get, the person you trained to ended up with a job, your promotion, the relationship that didn't work out, if you will let it let go. Get rid of the bitterness. Let me tell you, your hands are free to receive what God wants to release in your life. There is something coming your way. God says, if you let go of what has been hindering you, family, then God will release the blessings that He has in your future. This message digs deep into the uncomfortable places. It's a message that requires honesty. It requires you to do something that is uncomfortable. You might need to call a sister, call a family member, reach out to a dad who didn't raise you. It's not about their reaction. It's not about whether they do what is right. It's not about them saying the right things. It's got nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with you. You doing what is right. Forgiveness is a gift that you give yourself. It cuts the umbilical cord of your past. And it sets you free so that you can be birthed into your future in the name of Jesus today. I'm asking you today to make a decision. Pastor Steve, I will not go another day without forgiveness, bitterness, holding a grudge, resentment. Today, I'm getting rid of it. I'm forgiving in the name of Jesus. See, forgiveness is a decision. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It's a choice you make. Are you ready today? I said, are you ready today?
Yes.
Did this message speak to you at all this morning? I don't know about you. I don't know about you. But I find I need to hear this a lot. I find I need to be reminded of this a lot. Am I the only one? Because there's sometimes with me that I really feel like getting out of the ministry and joining the mafia. Because sometimes I think their approach to resolving things has a lot of appeal to me. It's another whole other meaning to the word getting rid of the baggage, right? But I'm telling you right now, family, I don't want anything to hinder my faith from working. I don't want anything to stop my prayers. I don't want anything to stop me receiving what God has for me. It's not worth it. I'm going to let that go. I want God to be merciful to me, so I'm going to be merciful to people.
Amen.
Amen. Say this. Say, Lord, I thank you,
Lord,
that you have forgiven me of the debt that I could never repay. And you said that I must forgive others just as you have forgiven me. And so today, I choose to forgive. I choose to let go of all resentment, all bitterness, every grudge. In the name of Jesus, I forgive. If you're thinking of somebody right now, there's someone God brought, I don't have to tell you, you know who it is. Just call their name, say, I forgive Joseph right now. In the name of Jesus, I forgive Joseph. I forgive Fred Blocks right now, in Jesus' name. I forgive Mary Lou. Say, Lord, I forgive anybody and everybody who's ever done me wrong, who's ever hurt me. I release them in the name of Jesus. They don't owe me anything. I thank you, Lord. You are my vindicator. You make my wrongs right. You settle my cases. You take care of me. Say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm looking to you. And I forgive every person who's ever wronged me in my life. In the name of Jesus, I let it go. I'm not holding against it. I'm not going to think about it anymore. Say, I am moving forward in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Father, Lord, I thank you for ministering to people here today. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for removing unforgiveness is removed out of our life. I thank you, Lord, that unforgiveness will not be a blockage to our faith. It will not hinder our faith anymore in the name of Jesus. Say this. Say, not only do I forgive, but I make a decision today that I will not allow unforgiveness in my heart or in my life. In the name of Jesus, say, I'm quick to forgive. I'm quick to forgive. Tell your neighbor, I'm quick to forgive. Don't ever say, I have a hard time forgiving, Pastor Steve. Takes me a long time to forgive. No, I'm quick to forgive. You know what? I want God, I need God to be quick to forgive me. Right? I don't want to go before God and He says, yes, Steve, I'll forgive you, but it's going to take me a long time. Come back tomorrow. Right? Amen. Bow your head for a moment if you would. Father, we thank you that you are a good God. We thank you, Lord, for your great love toward us, for your forgiveness. You've forgiven us of so much, Lord. You've forgiven us. We thank you for your mercy. And I thank you, Lord, today, as we go out of here. We go out of here free of every bit of unforgiveness. In Jesus' name. While you have your heads bowed, while you have your eyes closed, before we continue or close the service today, I want to pray right now. I want to give an opportunity for people that if you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, listen, I want to ask you a question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say that you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? You sure about that? Or would you have to be honest? I said, Pastor Steve, if I die today, I hope I go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, are you certain that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you, the good news is you can be certain of that. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain. There is a heaven that awaits us. There is a hell to shut. The good news is you can walk out of here and you can know for sure that all is right, all is well between you and God, that every mistake, every sin you've ever committed in your life, it's forgiven, it's washed away, and you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. I want to pray for you. I want to pray a life-changing prayer for you this morning, for every person in this place today that says, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're going to pray. Pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me, Pastor Steve. I want to be sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. If that's you this morning, listen, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, while we have our heads bowed, while we have our eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to be sure that all is right with me and God. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, quickly, I want you to lift your hand right now. Lift it up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. Thank you. I see your hand. Just lift it up right now. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you say, Pastor Steve, there's a time in my life when I was serving the Lord, I was serving, following Jesus, but I've backslidden, I've grown cold. Today I need to rededicate, I need to recommit myself. If that's you, lift your hand also. I want to pray with you. I want every person who lifted up your hand, please say this prayer. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Please follow and say this prayer with me. In fact, I'm going to ask, can every person in here today, church, let's all say this with me. Everybody together say, Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross, for me, to shed his blood, for me. Say, Lord, your word says that if I would believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess that he is my Lord, you said I would be saved. And so I do this today. Say this, say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you've been raised from the dead. You're alive. And I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Say, Lord, save me. Because today, I surrender my life to you. Say, from today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. Say it, church. Say, because I have done this, Lord, I thank you that I'm now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Say, thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Give them a big round of applause. Don't you do that? There were some people that lifted your hand up. I'm going to ask you, please, if you lifted your hand for that prayer, when we close the service in a few minutes from now, just remain seated where you are. But I'll tell you what, we have a gift we want to give you before you go home. And one of our counselors, one of our volunteers is going to come over to you and give you a gift before you leave. So thank you for just remaining where you are. Praise God. I want to share with you what's happening. We're excited for next week. We're going to have a great time next week. I want to tell you about that in a moment. But give my wife a big round of applause as she comes up to the finale.
Anybody ever read anything that was a little challenging? Yeah, me too. I'm going to read from, I was reading it this week, and it's not often that I read the book of Haggai, but in fact, it's not always easy to find. But I want to just read this today. It's a message from the Lord given to Haggai and to Zerubbabel that to give the word of the Lord to Joshua and to the people of God. Because what they'd done is they'd started building God's house, God's temple, but then they stopped. Like many years, they'd stopped. They hadn't been building the house of God. And in Haggai 1, it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Isn't it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? So the Lord's talking to them. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You planted much, but you harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expect much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains in ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. So what it's telling us here is telling us that these people were apparently using their circumstances as an excuse for not building God's house. They were saying, you know, because of food shortage or because I don't have enough money or because of inflation, I'm not going to build God's house. So they just stopped altogether. And, you know, I found it to be true in society today. All of us, we can come up with excuses as to why we can't tithe. Usually it's like, well, I can't afford to tithe because if I gave God the first tenth of what I got, I wouldn't have enough to pay my bills. There's a variety of reasons that we could come up with or excuses we could come up with as to why we could not support the house of God. And these people did that. But in fact, God's telling them, what the lack that you have is because you're not supporting the house of God.
Amen.
It's the other way around. They're saying we can't support the house of God. We can't build the house of God because we don't have enough. And he's saying you don't have enough because you're not putting God's house first.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting? Right. He says the heavens are withholding because you're not putting first. And he says this, and I would say it to us too, because if God says it twice in a passage, we should maybe listen. He says to them, be careful, give careful thought to your ways. So if we look at our circumstances and you say, and I know we've had that, we see it very often. You say, I can't seem to get ahead. I feel like I'm earning money to put it in a bag with holes. It's gone. If I just get ahead a little bit and the washing machine breaks down and I just do this in my car. If something has to be done with my car. I can't get ahead. Well, then God says, give careful thought. Always put my house first. And it's amazing because I went on and read, and the moment they began to do it, God said, mark this date down. Because the moment you start to do what I asked you to do, and you start to put my house first, this is the day where the heavens open above you. He says, this is the day where things change, where I'm on your side. Don't you want God on your side?
Amen.
We need God on our side, right? Because man's efforts can come to nothing. But when we have God on our side, we know that we'll succeed as
Amen.
We go through life. Amen? And so this today, as we come to give, that's all we want to do. We want to follow the word of God. And God gives us instruction that causes us to prosper and succeed in our lives. Right. So I encourage you to put God first. Put God's house first. This is not about Steve and I. This is not about this one particular church. This is about the kingdom of God. We've got to be God-minded, God's house first-minded. Amen? And so today, as you get ready to give, I want to just say to those who are watching online, just I'm so glad you joined us for the service there. There are many people that watch for various reasons. We know members that have had surgery that are watching. We know some that are just not able to make it or out of town. We're glad that you've watched today. Go ahead and give with us. There's a place on the screen. You can just give online. And for those of you here, there are various ways you can give. There's envelopes on the seats where you are. There's a secure give app, which is you just set it up one time on your phone. It's the easiest thing. Don't you love apps? What do we do without them, right? And you can. There's a variety of ways right up there that you can give. Text giving is really easy too. But prepare yourself as we honor God today. It is our privilege. Amen.
Amen.
What would you like to say?
Well, you know what I'm gonna say. I love what Stacy shared last week. I don't think Stacy's here today, but I love what Stacy shared last week. Stacy Buck was telling last week how that she got a tax bill for $14,000, and she didn't have the $14,000, and business had slowed down a little bit for her. But a few weeks ago, when was it? Maybe 4 weeks ago, right? Three or four weeks ago, Stacy felt. She's just felt the Lord leading her. She sowed a seed. She sowed a seed of $1,000 over and above what she normally would tithe. And she's been a tither for years. She sowed the seed of $1,000 in faith, trusting God to make a way for her with this $14,000 tax bill. Sure enough, she testified last week, in the next 2 weeks, so much business came in that she was able to pay that $14,000 tax bill in 2 weeks. Amazing. Now, you know, it's amazing what happens. When we give to the house of God, because really that's how we pay the bills. That's how we're able to rent this room. Thousands of dollars to rent this room. So I know that we receive the offering because we're going to pay the bills. But you know, it's about a whole lot more than that. It's much bigger than that, family.
Amen.
Because you may say, well, I'm giving to help you. But in actual fact, you're giving to help yourself.
Amen. Right.
Because when you give and support the house of God and the kingdom of God, God promises that He'll take care of you. So it's amazing. I'm giving to help the church so that we can preach the word of God. But at the same time, I'm really helping myself.
Amen.
You see, it's like when I forgive, I'm really forgiving for my sake. When I give, I'm the one who benefits the most.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to say. I benefit the most. It brings me to a place where God opens the windows of heaven and meets my needs supernaturally, and things happen. So, yeah, I've said this for years, and people have said, Pastor Steve, I can't afford to tithe. And I understand what they mean. I can't afford to tithe. But I always, you know, my feeling is, I can't afford not to.
Amen.
I cannot afford not to. I need the blessings of God. I need a God to help me supernaturally. And the only way to do that is by putting Him first, putting His house first. God said to them, you've neglected my house. You're running around building your own house. You've neglected my house. That's why, no matter how hard you work to get ahead, it's never going to be enough. You know, it's amazing. When you put God first and obey Him, God makes sure you have more than enough. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, ushers, you can go ahead and get ready to receive the offering. I want to mention just Mandy, stand up for us, please, Mandy. Andrew's right next to her, but Mandy and Andrew have a lunch club going once a month, the last Sunday of every month.
So that's today.
Yes, so that's today. If anyone would like to join them for lunch, last month they had a whole lot of people with them, and it's a great way to fellowship, meet some new people. They're meeting at Shipwreck, which is at 1511 North Old Dixie. So that's the lady to look for when you get there, and they'll have seating for you, and you can have a good time this afternoon. And then to mention that we're calling it the prayer party at Pastor's house.
Having a prayer party at my house.
But not this Wednesday, it's the following Wednesday, it's April the 5th, yes. Right?
7 p.m. We'd love you to come join us. How many of you believe it's important for us as a church to pray together?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. How many people?
Oh, I hear a lot more clapping than came last time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. First time there were like 50 people there, more than 50.
Yeah, we packed our house out, which is great.
Second time, not as many. This time, more, right?
Absolutely. It's important that we pray. Amen?
Amen.
You know, so many people that say, I'll pray for you. Say, how many of you know they never do? They just say it. It's just a saying. Oh, I'm afraid. I'll pray for you. I think we should actually come together and actually pray.
Yes. Yes.
Amen? All right, listen. And before we go home today, we are excited. Next week, what's happening next week? Show us the video, and then I'll say something about it and we'll post.
I can't wait to see you guys. When? April the 2nd. Where? Christian Family Church. So go to cfcjupiter.org and you can get the information and address there. But I'm going to be there. It's Pastor Steve and Jill and all those amazing people. And I can't wait to be there again with my lovely wife. And I'm going to be preaching Jesus. And I've got a special word for you. And I think it can impact your life because it's from Him and not me. So come. It's 10 a.m. You don't need a ticket. Get there early and make the drive. And I'm going to shake all of your hands and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All right, I love you. Bye. Jupiter, Florida was... God brought you here for a reason tonight. God is grace. And in His grace, He's brought you here so that I can make much of Jesus, the teaching of the gospel, so that you have an opportunity to give Him your life to be set free, to be a child of God.
I actually was about to commit suicide about a year back, January 5th, 2014, and Clayton's videos helped me get out of there. It's one of the highlights of my life so far, meeting a man who helped me without even knowing me.
One day when you stand before God, you will not stand with family members or friends, you will stand all alone, and you will give an account for the life that you've lived. This is sobering stuff that we're dealing with.
While I was watching his video, I was just bawling my eyes out, and I just in my bedroom watching one of his videos, I had an encounter with Jesus, and rededicated my life right there.
Holy Spirit, please, just right now, begin to move in this auditorium. Draw people to yourself. Change people. Blow up in people's hearts like dynamite, bringing them to a place of love. Fill them with peace. Bring them to the cross. Please, Jesus.
Use this thing. God bless you, brother.
Standing in the moment. So we were really like, wow.
I got here at like 3:30 and there's a line. That did not surprise me at all. Michigan loved me.
I'm asking you to save me. I repent of my sins. I believe in you, Jesus.
The altar call, I've never seen that many people come to God in one setting.
A lot of hands go up and, you know, people make a decision for Christ, so that's what it's all about, extending the kingdom and advancing it.
I got goosebumps, I was so excited. The passion and the drive and the enthusiasm and the emotion that he has that is from Jesus, it's just so inspiring to see, and you want that.
I don't care if we don't talk about hell. Jesus talked about hell, and he talked about it more than he ever talked about heaven. If you love them, you would warn them about where they're headed and their sin. You would love them enough to tell them the hard truth. And he said, I love you enough to give you a second chance. The same beat that they nailed to the cross walked out of the tomb in victory. Jesus is alive, and because he's alive, everything that he said in Scripture is true and will come to fruition. And it looks like this. If you don't know him, if you don't give him your life, if you aren't saved through that sacrifice, you are headed to a fast track of punishment where you will pay the price for your own sins.
Praise God. Now, thank you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Thanks for waiting to the end of the service, too. Thanks for waiting for the announcements. The folks who left are going to go and ask me, what's happening next week, Pastor Steve? Listen, why are we having Clayton Jennings? I said, why are we having Clayton Jennings?
Revival.
Who knows?
Revival.
We're having Clayton Jennings because Jesus said in Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples. God has called us to reach others with the gospel. Aren't you glad that somebody told you? Aren't you glad that somebody invited you? Aren't you glad that God used somebody to reach you? Listen, next week, there's nothing that thrills the heart of God or me more. There's nothing that excites me more than to see people come to Jesus. And did you notice how many young people? Clayton Jennings has a tremendous ministry toward young people. And I'm going to ask you, when you came in here today, you were given some of these invitation cards. We have 1,000 of them. I want to ask you, please, to take these invitation cards and invite somebody this week to come to church with you. I was talking to you before the service, Karan. Where's Karan? Karan was telling me he's been handing these out this week. You were at the gas station and, I don't know, you got talking and you invited some people to come. And I'm asking you, please, not... That's right. Last week we went to lunch down here at Tommy Bahamas, and I had some of these Clayton Jennings invites just sitting on the table. And the waiter said, my mother loves him. So I gave him, I said, well, come with your mom next Sunday. Bring your mom next Sunday. So here's what I'm saying. I'm asking every one of us, say, that means me.
That means me.
Let's try it again.
That means me.
Okay, tell your neighbor, that means you.
That means you.
Everybody means everybody.
Amen.
I'm asking everybody, please, do you know that, think about this, that person that you invite, give me your attention, that person that you invite, you could change their eternity. My life was changed forever when my mom took me to church. There is no telling what could happen with that one simple invitation. I'm asking you to invite people. Now, I know we're going to have people coming from all over, taking drawers from all over, but I want to impact this area. I want to see people in Jupiter. I want to see people in West Palm Beach. I want to reach our community.
Amen.
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 So I'm asking you, say, this week,
I'm going
to hold that card in your hand. Hold this card. Say, this week, I'm going to invite people to come to Clayton. I'm inviting people to church this week. Say, in the name of Jesus, convince me if you want to go home today, convince me that you're going to invite someone to come to church next week. Rochester, Miguel, Dan, Tony. You're going to be out of town, but invite people. You're going to be visiting your son, Jim. Amen. Wouldn't it be great to see a couple of hundred people get saved next Sunday?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be great to see? Let's do it. Father, as we go home today, we are so thankful that you have forgiven us and you do not remember. You do not remember the sins we commit. When we ask you to forgive us, Lord, you said that you would forgive us and you would cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We're so thankful, Lord, for your mercy. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you've put your love in our heart. And Lord, as we go out of here today, we don't have any unforgiveness, any resentment toward anybody. As we go out of here today, Lord, I thank you for using us, for giving us each boldness, giving us the passion, giving us the desire to win souls. I thank you for using us to invite people to come to church next Sunday for Clayton Jennings' service. I thank you next Sunday, Lord, that we'll have many, many people get saved, many young people come into your kingdom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. I'm glad you were here today. You look good. God bless you. We'll see you all next Sunday. Amen.